This is the May 17th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves 20 properties. It's case number 519 through case number 538, and it's property ID 984-95314 through property ID 984-95352. All of the properties are owned by Three Daughters, LLC. If there's going to be any confidential testimony today, please state when that will begin and we'll start a separate recording. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc present as the representative for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll swear you in for these cases.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
And this swearing in will be for whatever you do today, okay? Just to let you know also that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen again, if that's okay.
Yep.
And I think it'll probably take a bit for it to activate.
In the meantime, tell us what page you're on.
I'm just starting on page one, so we can see this is a, we've kind of called it a townhome property, but that's not entirely accurate. It's a more or less an apartment complex. They consist of 20 units. All the units are two bedroom, one bath. Units at average 817 square feet. It's located in the heart of Hazeldale, and the units themselves are laid out in they're single level units, but they're all in two story buildings. So I think they're kind of duplex, fourplex type buildings. If I'm not mistaken, and I think they're mostly duplex because there's two car garages, and so there's a detached two car garage with each building, so each unit has a single detached garage unit there. The units themselves are fairly consistent with the 1977 era that they were built in. They have dishwashers in the kitchen. However, there are no in-unit washer dryers. There is a common area laundry room. And aside from the parking garage, that's really the only, you know, common area amenity that these units have. These units are all on separate tax lots, and they were condominiumized for some reason back in the mid-1980s, but they've always been operated as apartments, as far as I know, and by the current owner. So we have valued these things as apartments because that's how a logical buyer would approach this. Click on page two. You can see a copy of the neighborhood and site area. You can see where we're located there in Hazeldale. There's a more close-up aerial at the bottom of the property. And on page three is our income approach. And you can see as of the Valuation date, occupancy was at 85%. They had three vacant units. Our concluded market rent is $1,250 per unit. And we projected a 5% stabilized vacancy with expenses before taxes at $5,660 per unit, and gives us an NOI of $190,800. We've capped that at a base cap rate of 5.25%, plus the 1.09% tax load for a loaded cap rate of 6.34%. And that gives us the value of $3,009,772. And that equates to $150,489 per unit. On page four, you can see 4 years of historical operations. 2018 looks to be a partial year. But we have three full years in 2019, 20, and 21. 2021 was their best year in comparison. The effective gross revenue increased to $292,000. For 2022, for our stabilized projections, we're at $304,000. And for operating expenses, again, we've projected those at $5,660 per unit, which is less than where they've been historically. But I believe that they've had a little above average maintenance expenses. So we've normalized those to get that NOI at $190,800, which again is higher than any of the years that they've done previously. Does anybody have any questions with respect to the income approach?
Nope.
No.
I have a question of on the valuation. Does the tax assessed value? There's no land associated with it. Is there a separate tax lot number for the land, or is it intuitive that the value for the improvements includes a value associated with the land?
Yeah, that's my understanding here. Is that is included here.
So they haven't...
There's nothing contrary that I've seen from the assessor that suggests that there's another parcel with land.
So they have something involved in the deeding says that they have an undivided interest in that whole property that they're sitting on.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I assume that to be the case.
Okay, go ahead.
Did I see in here anywhere where any of these have been sold to a separate private party? They're all still owned by one owner?
They're all under the appellant's ownership.
Okay.
So none of the units have been sold.
Okay.
On page five, I have some supporting sales, and these sales range from $135,000 per unit up to $165,000 per unit. Again, we're seeking a requested value at $150,489 per unit. I think they're all reasonably good indicator of sales. were 1977 construction. The sales range from 1965 or 1963 to 1978. And, you know, we can go through these sales. The sales are, if you want to see where they're located, on page 6, we have improved sales map. And sale 3 is the one located closest to us in Hazeldale. This is Chalet Vista. It's an older 1968 development, and it's the low indicator at $135,000. They also do have some one-bedroom, one-bath units, but they also have two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath townhomes. But given the age, it would be a low indicator. 5, point out that's our high indicator at $165,000. This is a 10-unit, these are all single-family individual homes on lots in Vancouver, so they're all three-bedroom, one-bath homes that measure 988 square feet. So that is, having your own detached home is superior to an apartment where you have a neighbor above or below you. So that is the high indicator. I think the rest are reasonably accurate and similar to the subject. These, we have reported cap rates on 3 of the sales. These sale 1 at 5.75%, sale 2 at 6.1%, and sale 5 at 6.6%. Also, these are all sales that occurred between December of 2020 and the present, so they're more or less 12 to 13 months, all of them before our date evaluation of 1/1/22. Sale 1 was actually in December of 21, that sold for $143,000 per unit, and those are superior two-bedroom, two-bath units that are larger at 975 square feet. They're a little older, built in 1968. But again, I think that's a good indicator of value. If you look at the exhibits we provided, Exhibit 1, we have the more information for the CoStar on the sales that I discussed previously here. We've got a copy of our rent roll and the trailing 3 years profit and loss reports for the property. If I could, I just wanted to touch upon the assessor's sales, because again, the assessor has valued this as a retail condominium units for each as a retail condominium unit. And again, we believe that this is, you know, 20 units in bulk, and even if you were to sell them as retail condominium units, it would take some time to do that, and you would have some holding costs. So that is a discount factor that they have not accounted for. On their sale grid that they provided with their evidence, they've got 4 sales here. Some interesting things. Sales 1 and 2 are from the same property. This is, and they're also the high indicators as well. But this, although this property is located in Hazel Dell. It's in the south part of Hazel Dell off Minnehaha. It's a little better locationally. The property, the complex itself is significantly superior, despite the fact that it's 10 years newer, and the units are larger at 1,022 square feet, 943 square feet. The complex has a swimming pool, playground, a clubhouse, the units themselves, they also include in-unit washer dryers. There's no doubt that sales 1 and 2 are superior to the subject. Sale 3, although it's older, built in 1960, it is a bit larger at 912 square feet. It's also located off of Northwest Kelly Drive in the Lakeshore area, and the units are, I looked up on Redfin, where I believe this particular unit was advertised as having a view of Vancouver Lake. So I would think that a view of Vancouver Lake and not the mobile home park across the street would make this a significantly superior location. Sale 4, this is in Hazel Dell as well. However, it's in the northern part of Hazel Dell, and it also has gated access. The unit itself includes washer-dryer hookups. I looked it up on Redfin. It was reported they had new windows. The interior picture showed updated, laminate plank flooring. And it's slightly newer. It also includes a detached garage. A bit superior to the subject. I would, say as far as our location, we are right in the heart of Hazel Dell. And I know that there was some question yesterday as to my local knowledge about neighborhoods, but I can say that this is not the high rent district of Vancouver. We've got a mobile home park just to the west of us, and to the north of us, we've got an RV park, it's definitely not the best location when we're talking about Clark County. With that, does anybody have any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Is there anything other than just carrying costs involved in separating these and selling them separately? I mean, is there any kind of conversion costs that are required? They're all separately metered and separately sewered and all that stuff?
I would assume that they are, but again, I don't know how they do the water sewer for these buildings, if they're separate or they're per building. My understanding is that they were condominiumized in the 1980s. After they were built. So they were likely built as apartments originally. And I'm not sure about that. But I'm sure that they have separate electrical, at least, and potentially natural gas.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm trying to...
These were converted from something else to the...
Back in the 80s, they were somebody converted them to condos, but they've always been used as rentals.
Yes. Well, what were they prior to the 80s?
They were apartments.
So they were treated as apartments then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure what the difference is between a condo and an apartment.
Yeah.
One sounds a little better than the other.
I guess, you know, there was probably a condo craze in the 80s, and they thought that, you know, this was represented a potential.
That sort of leads me to believe there might not be, and if it was treated as an apartment, that seems like they might have had common the services, you know, like water and sewer and gas, but I wouldn't think they could easily rent them separately on that basis, but I don't know. Okay. I have no further questions.
Nope, nor do I.
Nope.
Okay, we're on to the next one.
What was that hearing?
This is a continuation of the May 17th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 44 properties in the same complex for this upcoming hearing. So the case numbers for those are 539 through 582. But the property IDs are a little bit different. So all of them begin with 160722, and then the 44 cases end in 002, 004, 006, 010, 014, 016, 018, 020, 022, 026, 028, 032, 034, 036, 040, 042, 044, 046, 052, 054, 062, 064, 066, 068, 070, 072, 074, 076, 078, 080, 108, 110, 114, 116, 118, 120, 138, 144, 146, 148, 150, 152, 154, and 156. All of those properties are owned by LG Enchanted Woods LLC and Pebble Creek Bristol LLC, except for case number 575, which is owned by LG Enchanted Woods LLC, 66.6667%. And case number 581, which is owned by Pebble Creek Bristol LLC, 33.3333%. And then, just in case there's any confidential testimony, please let me know. We'll start a separate recording. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc present over video chat for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about these properties.
Okay, and again, I will share my screen if that's okay.
Your information didn't pop up before, so I don't know if you got to do something different.
It didn't come up at all.
Well, we've got your packet. We've got the packets.
Got the packets. So just
I'm just looking at the page. I'm not even looking at the screen, but you can put it up there for you, but we just see a blank screen.
Okay. Well, so this is the Pebble Creek Village, and the development consists of 78 total units. 44 of those units are owned by the appellant, who I'm representing here, and the units themselves, the complex is located If you look on page 3, you can see where it's located. It's located kind of close to Vancouver Mall, just kind of between Minnehaha and Vancouver Mall. These units were built in 2003. If you look on page 4, you can see the unit mix. Of the 44 units that we own, 12 of them are one-bedroom, one-bath apartments. 2 are two-bedroom, one-bath apartments. 16 are two-bedroom, two-bath apartments. 6 are three-bedroom, two-bath, which I'm assuming are townhomes. 7 are 4-bed, 2.5-bath townhomes. And there's 1 5-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome. The overall average unit size is 1,073 square feet. Also included are 18 garages, and those are detached garages. And that's what you see on page 1 is at the end of the packet. You see those PS 13, 14, 15, 16. Those are the assessments for the garages themselves. Again, we valued these as apartments because they are leased as apartments. We projected a market rent of $1,469 average rent. We projected some expense reimbursements at $575 per unit with 5% vacancy. I'm on page 4. And we've projected expenses at $6,330 per unit before taxes. And our unloaded cap rate is 4.5% plus the tax load of 1.02%. That gives us a loaded cap rate of 5.52%. Our NOI of $483,867 divided by the loaded cap rate of 5.52 equates to $8,771,124 or $199,344 per unit. So we're pretty close to $200,000 per unit. With these, if you look on page 5, we have 5 years of operating history, and our projected effective gross income is $761,927. Again, that's higher than any EGI out of the previous 5 years. Our net operating income projection is $483,000, and that is significantly higher than the NOI of any of the previous 5 years. It looks like the highest NOI they've had was in 2019 at $393,000. Last year, that NOI was at $367. We think that we're presenting this in the most positive light and looking at this through the eyes of an investor. We've also included some comparable sales on page 6. And we have 5 sales. These 5 sales all occurred in 2021, between March and December of 2021. and they consist of developments ranging from 15 units up to 118 units. Sale 5, Ellsworth Gardens, is only 15 units, but sales 1 through 4 are between 60 and 118 units. So we're at 44 units, so kind of in the middle of that. But in terms of investor buyer profile, probably closer to, you know, that size of sales 1 through 4. The developments, they were all, again, were built in 2003. The comparable sales are built between 1969 and 1998. Sale 1 is the oldest, built in 1969, but these are consists of a townhome complex, and they're all two-bedroom, one-bath, up to three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath, with slightly or higher average unit size, and they all include single-car garages. And those sold for an average of $196,000 per unit, very similar to our requested value, and that sold in December of 2021, right before the valuation date. Sale 2 is similar in age to the subject, 5 years older, built in 1998. This is an 84-unit apartment complex that slightly average or smaller unit size. However, the building has tuck-under parking garage. That sold for $204,000 per unit. Sale 3, similar, slightly smaller average unit size, 60 units, consists of a mix of one-bedroom and two-bedroom, one-bath units. And then we have sale 4. That's 118 unit. This is a townhome complex built in 1993. That is kind of similar to us in that it has one bedroom, two baths, two bedroom, two and a half bath, and three bedroom, two bath units that average 955 square feet. Each of these townhomes come with a one-car garage, each of the townhomes and surface parking. Pretty similar to the subject at this one sold at $202,000 per unit. If you look on page 7, you can see an approved sale map. Sales 2 and 5 look to be probably, you know, a little superior in location. And the subject's probably superior in location to sales 1, 4, and 3. For that, in terms of cap rates, we've got a range of cap rates. Sale 4 sold at a 4.5% cap rate. Sale 5 was at a 5.94% cap rate. Due to the, you know, size variation, when you get into these smaller complexes, you see a much greater variation in cap rates. They tend to normalize as the unit count goes up you've got more kind of solid, consistent operating histories in which to evaluate these complexes. So sale 4 sold at a 4.5% cap rate, and that is the base cap rate that we used in our sales comparison approach here, which is 4.5% as well. So does anybody have any questions with respect to the income approach and the sales?
I don't have any questions.
Nope. The only question I have, and it actually gets into the assessor's side of it, is that you use comps different than the area, whereas the assessor's comps are all within the same address, just a different unit number, and their map clearly shows that it's in that same complex that you're valuing on the income approach, and their sales are clearly different, and they produce a value higher than what you've said on the units.
Yeah, they're working with, these are, again, what I call retail sales of individual units within the same complex. So we are 44 units within a larger 78 unit complex. So out of these 30 plus units that we don't own, there have been sales, and that's what the assessor has used to base their value on. You know, again, how they came up to their exact value, I'm not sure, but but if we look at these sales there, again, these are retail individual unit sales, and if you had 44 units all come on the market at the same time, if you sold them all at once at the same time, you would sell them for a discount than what an individual buyer would sell them for. And if you sold them, and if your goal was to sell them individually as condominiums, it would take you time to do that, and you would have to incur some holding costs for that. You would have broker fees. You would have fees to renovate them and make them ready for sale. You would have to continue to pay insurance and taxes. You know, the question is how long would it take you to sell these? In January of 2022, we knew that we had some, we had a few months of low interest rates at that time. However, they started to increase quite rapidly in the late spring into the summer to here we are today. And it's a much different market in terms of condominiums and residential sales due to the cost of money. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. We were able to reach a settlement with the assessor last year for this property. This year, for whatever reason, we weren't able to reach a settlement. And it's not like we didn't increase our value over the prior year. Again, I guess they felt that there was a number of sales within the property, and they felt that they were good to go on their assessment. But again, we have 44 of these units. We're not talking about single units.
I don't have any further questions. It's good. You put together a good packet. Good information.
Yeah, I have no further questions.
Oh, me neither.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Okay. Enjoy the what's ending of our fake summer.
Fake summer.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
You. Close here.